A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So this might look like a table, but it's actually a bit of stage.
Is this a bit of stage?
Yeah, stage deck.
What?
See, stage deck, GT, what's the brand.
I don't think it's stage deck.
So you must feel very comfortable.
Everything else about this is quite professional and slick, but yes, that is a shame.
Why? Yeah. Why is it a shame? I quite like the fact that we can...
It's edgy.
And what we do is we...
Literally.
It's food on a chopping board, that's what it is.
No, it's not. I can turn anything into a useful product.
Well, you're about to say you can turn anything into a pun.
Yeah, I can turn anything into a pun, and I can turn anything into a useful product.
Wow.
Give me something. Go on, I'll turn it into a useful product.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's see about this.
A mirror has smashed into two pieces. What do you do with the two pieces?
Oh, the two separate pieces?
The two separate pieces.
Francis snorts cocaine off one.
Lovely.
One. No. I've got one. Okay, so
Francis goes, "Give me that mirror," because he's the one who smashed it during his rage.
I've been doing coke off bits of stage.
Now, give me that mirror back. I want it, need it,
and I'm willing to pay for it.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate story details of our lives. Joined with us today is a person who I have probably known the longest out of anyone in this room, for sure, and probably anyone who's been on the podcast, I think, Ivo Graham.
Hello, Jamie.
Hello, Ivo.
You know, you should have actually said award-winning stand-up comedian.
Nope.
Ivo Graham.
No need. Get into the backstory.
Okay, let me do that again. Award-winning, born in Tokyo, Summerfields educated, Eton educated, Oxford educated.
Ticked all the boxes.
All of that education.
Father?
To be.
To be.
Yes. You're a father to be.
Yes, I am actually.
Suddenly got really loud in here.
Because you just turned yours up the wrong way. Like, turn it that down. I love how Francis turns their thing. Suddenly got really loud in here, but you're turning it up. Like, that's what you're doing.
Can I turn mine down as well? Yeah, it's a bit stressful, actually.
Yeah. It's a bit stressful.
You're trying to make
me stressed by talking to me about my impending fatherhood.
Is that mine? Whose is that?
That's mine.
Okay, that's yours. Is that mine? There we go. Found out. Ivo, man, we do. Dude, we go back a long way.
We do. But we have had a bit of a fallow period of about
fallow means
not much
a length of period with nothing going on, Francis.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Did you know?
Yeah, I knew that. Do you want to give me another word before we begin? Go on.
But you knew that because it happened to you.
No.
You're like, oh, that's what that means.
Yeah. Everyone always says that to me, like, what does that mean?
You gotta stop having fallow periods.
Go on, give me another word, Ivo.
Can I give you one that I don't know that I've just thought of? Perspicacious.
I know what that means.
What does that mean?
It basically means when you see, when you see perspiration.
Precipitation.
No.
It's when you see precipitation on a window, but then you collect it on a mirror.
There's dignity in not knowing, Jamie. There's dignity in not knowing.
But dude, Ivor, we're from way back. We went to Summerfield School for Boys together.
Oh, yeah?
Can I say what's very annoying is when I saw you last we did a radio show called Fighting Talk together, and I was very excited to bring the old school magazines to show you as a sort of a greeting gift. And I was very keen to bring today, and I've forgotten them. And actually, there's just so much in there.
There's so much content in there.
And I would feel less guilty doing it here, because when we did it at Fighting Talk, we had the very immediate deadline of a live radio show, and also quite quite a lot of people who I think were judging us for being such smug school.
They were all judging us. Really?
Well, because it's quite, you know, you had the other panelists were Catherine Mary, who's like an Olympic sprinter. Steve Bunce, who's this very intimidating boxing pundit. Colin Murray, the host, quite impatient as well.
Yeah.
And then these two la-di-das talking about, you know, Jamie winning Victor Ludorum in 1999.
That's what I said. I said, Ivor comes up to me and said, you probably won't remember me, but I'm Ivor Graham. And I went, Ivor, yeah, I remember you. I remember what house he was in. I remembered everything about him. And first thing I said,
it's
weird
how those things stick in your head, like what house someone was in at prep school.
Mm.
Yeah.
He was in Case.
I was in Case.
Like
yes.
me, likewise. And he said, you're very good at sport. And I said, yeah, I won Victor Ludorum 5 years in a row. And everyone.
Is this all on the radio?
No, this is before that. And then, honestly, Steve Bunce looked at me and I think he wanted to shoot me.
Yes.
I think he did. Yeah,
like fair enough.
Yeah. And it was a Saturday morning, wasn't it? People are normally hungover. It was this thing called Fighting Talk. I didn't even know what Fighting Talk was. And then I turned up how to talk about football and I was panicking the whole way through.
Jamie was excellent on the show. It was a superb debut.
But was it about boxing or?
It's football.
Basically, you get lots of questions and you can relate them to fighting, ideally, to intellectually. Mm. But it's like, you know, someone was in the news, in the sporting news this week because they've been banned for 2 weeks. But what is the worst ever sporting ban? That's a terrible example. But like you can provide any answer from sporting history.
We can do it. We can play it now. Okay. Eric Cantona jumping into the stands and with a fly kick.
Great, with a fly kick.
Yeah.
Do you think that was as bad as Lance Armstrong?
Yeah, way worse. Actually, yeah. Way worse than doping all his life and
exactly.
Yeah, way worse.
Kicking one fan versus letting down millions.
But obviously, we went to Summerfield together.
Yes.
Summerfield School for Boys. What do you think of boarding school
for boys?
Is it Summerfield?
It's a boys. I don't think it was called Summerfield School for Boys.
Yes, it is Summerfield School for Boys.
Okay,
that's what I was told. I was like, "Where are you going to school?" I was like, "Summerfield School for Boys." And then I went to Radley College School for Boys.
Right.
And then I went to Leeds University for boys
and girls. Come on, they must have let some girls in by that point.
Yeah, but we hated them. I'm kidding. We
don't have it to die hard.
What did you think of boarding school?
I really enjoyed Summerfield's. So I went to Summerfield and then I went to Eton College for boys. But in between, my family went to live in Australia because my dad got a job in Sydney.
Yeah, I saw that in one of your acts. Actually, it was funny because...
In one of his acts?
One of his acts. Act. One of his acts.
Yeah.
His acts.
One of his routines. He talks about that. And I thought, because it's funny... Wait,
where were you watching this?
I was there.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was on YouTube. I knew it.
I did see. Ivo's face was full of just glee. Wait, someone came?
Someone came. I knew someone was there.
I could have got away with that. No, but so you were born in Tokyo.
Mm.
I was actually conceived in Tokyo.
Yes.
My parents lived there when I was not born. And but then also, like you, I thought that's interesting. And then also, you had a hiatus from British boarding school, which
yes.
is the same with me. But I went to America, and then I came back, and I had an American accent.
Just quickly for all the listeners out there, hiatus.
Jamie,
I'm just different. This is
in his flow.
It's very similar to a fallow period. Actually.
It is actually
perfect. That's
God,
why
it's such a well-structured podcast. Everything relates to everything else. It's not just three people faffing around.
That's called a callback.
Yeah,
really
nice.
Or a
sabbatical is another good one.
Oh, sabbatical, gardening leave.
Gardening leave. Francis went to garden in America for a few years.
Yeah, I had a gardening leave period, and then. And it was a fallow gardening leave period as well.
No
flowers.
Wait, so you've been back to Tokyo, Francis?
I have, yeah. And I actually have a Japanese cider. Yeah.
Wait, hang on. And that's why it all relates back to the beginning. That life is magical. I now get it.
Yeah.
Life is really the circle of life. It is fascinating.
I don't think that's the phrase.
Ivo, it is.
That's the new phrase.
Life is really the circle of life. That is the
phrase. I think you want to avoid repetition of any words in the catchphrase if possible.
No, listen. always humour you want to repeat. Humour is repetition.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, actually, the more you repeat it, sometimes the funnier it gets, right?
That's true.
To a point.
But so, Ivy, so I'm going back. So you loved prep school, which is from ages of 8 to 13, right?
8 to 13, but this is why I would love to compare and contrast with the Boole story. Oh, yeah. Because I found that having gone to a different country and gone to a day school, so that was I went when I was 10. We went to Australia and came back when I was 13. And I really liked being at day school. And it was funny. You lived in Sydney, and so you could like go to the beach and stuff,
and play with the kangaroos
and just kangaroos jumping around everywhere.
I lived on a beach for 4 years
in America.
And you guys are trying to compare that you're very similar.
Well, it's weirdly similar.
Why is Jamie here? Yeah. If you want to go and do this podcast somewhere else, Francis, I'd be absolutely delighted to. Yeah. But I found it much harder coming back to England and going back to boarding school because I'd had a taste of freedom.
Except yours is just slightly better because you were born in Tokyo. I was only conceived there.
I went
to America. You went to Australia. I went back and went to this minor public school, and you went to Eton
College for Boys.
I went to Edinburgh, and you went to Oxford. It's like you're just slightly better. Yeah, I'm like
you want to be Ivo.
Yeah, exactly. I want to be you, Ivo.
Ivo, you are Francis as everything that he wants to be.
I'm Tyler Durden.
The thought.
I was just looking at this Wikipedia. I was like, God,
the thought that Ivo Graham is what Francis is ultimate wants to be. You know how Brad Pitt playing Tyler Durden.
It's like sliding doors. It could have been so different. My parents had just stayed in Japan for longer.
Seen out the pregnancy in Japan rather than coming. Where were you born?
Hammersmith.
Oh dear. Exactly, rather than some glamorous Japanese hospital.
Hey everyone, we're going to come back with private parts in just 1 second, just after this. Whew, there we go. Now, let's get back into it. You like prep school, but then when you felt the sense of freedom, you didn't really like going back to prep school.
Going back to boarding school. Because I think, I had a good time at Eton, and it's a very good education. I'm very grateful for it. And I did have some friends who are still good friends now, but not that many. And I just felt a bit more, you know, when you're a teenager, which can, of course, be very hard in some ways.
Whereas it's really hard.
I think when you went to boarding school for the first time at like 7 or 8, you didn't know any better. You're a bit homesick at first, but Summerfields was really good at dealing with that. Like, there was all these activities.
They were terrible.
Did you think that? I thought they
were... I was put in a dormitory and told to go to sleep and wasn't allowed to call my mum for 2 weeks. And then the person next to me went, "Mummy!" And I went, "Oh my God, get me out of here!" That's literally what happened. And to make friends, I pretended that I slept walk because I thought it was cool.
Great stuff, Jamie. Just run me through pretending to sleepwalk and how that works.
I swear to God this is true. I was in the summer term my first year and I was in Upper House, which is a boarding house at Summerfield.
I don't think you'd be in Upper House in your first year, Jamie.
Yeah, I was in Upper House in my
you
first
sure
year.
You sure you went in Borva?
No, I was not in Borva. Borva.
All right, you guys, come on. Enough of this.
Yeah.
I'm going to move this along.
Someone has just been so alienated away from this podcast that they're never, ever going to switch back because all we're talking about is in public school slang.
Oh, and one specific school as well.
That's fine. Well, let's hear this sleep talking.
So I apologise to all of our listeners who cannot relate, but it is quite funny. So we lived in boarding houses, which are dormitories. So you'd have, I don't know, 50 boys in a house, and of those 50 boys or 40 boys, you'd all be separated into different rooms together in dormitories.
Were you in the same year? Or?
Year below me.
Exactly.
Yeah, below you.
Yeah, I was his elder. and anyway, so I was in Upper House and I did my first year and then second year and the third year. And in my third year, which was the summer term, I was sleeping in the top bunk. And what happened was one night I got out of bed to go and take a pee. And I went and took a pee and someone, a guy called Matthew, said to me, Jamie. Like that. And I didn't respond to him. And I walked into the bathroom and he went over and I came in going, "Oh my God, he's sleepwalking. So in my head I went, well, this has won everyone over. So I walked back in and sleptwalked back into my bed, supposedly. And then I repeated this every single week for 6 days, like for 6 days in a row, where I would then have like codes to my roommates to say that I was actually going to start sleepwalking. So every single time I would say, God, you know, when I was a kid, my mum said if I started snoring, that meant I was about to sleepwalk. So we'd all be like going to bed and I would start to go, and they'd go, oh my God, he's about to sleepwalk. And then I would get out of my bunk bed and just sleepwalk around the room, totally awake, thinking I was wicked. Wow. Until this one time I sleepwalked and our housemaster came in and found me sleepwalking. What are you doing? And I just had to pretend to sleepwalking. And he picked me up and put me back in my bed.
What an astonishing insight.
And what then?
Yeah, and then we had sex.
Good, good.
But so you went to Australia, yes. And what did you love Australia more than England, or was it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, both they've both got great qualities. I'm very keen to lose.
I thought you were going to say, did you love Australia more than Eton?
Australia versus Eton. There's the charity football match I'd like to see. one of two people in this life. I like them all. They were all good formative life experiences.
But surely you went from a very much a sort of I suppose a prestigious kind of British English public school going to Australia, which I think the education and the whole scenario and everything would be completely different. Correct?
No, not really. I mean, it was a day school. That was the main difference. But it was still a pretty, you know, it was a good school, and you know the. But most of the traditions and stuff were the same.
It just more Australians.
More Australians. And I'm sorry if you can't handle that, but I was able to put aside my prejudices and blend in.
We've got some Australian listeners. Though,
yes, so. And you know, hello to all of you.
But were there girls at your school? Was it still a boys' school in Australia?
No, it was still a boys' school, but you had that
You demanded that. I'm not going.
There must be some consistency.
No, mother, I insist.
And you're living in Sydney, but the only one was in Melbourne. You had to just commute to Melbourne to go to an all-boys school.
I think what I was really obsessed with when I came back to England and went to Eton as a teenager was that I'd had a better time in Australia, and also that my teenage years and therefore my life would have been better if we'd stayed in that really petulant teenage way. Because there are a few things. I think the football, I was really into football, and the standard of that was quite a lot lower in Australian schools because it was much less important. People were doing rugby and cricket. And so I went from being like in the C's or whatever at Summerfields to being a captain of the A's in Australia.
The same thing happened to me in America.
We're the same
thing. Yeah, the same thing.
And you're in the B's. You're in the B's, right?
No. I played county football in America.
Soccer.
Yeah, soccer, exactly. Mm. And then I came back and I was like in the...
And coming back to it, when you've been counted, I mean, there was talk of state for me, not to keep one-upping it, but I reckon I'd have gone all the way to state. Imagine.
Talk of me going to state. Yeah. But the funny thing is that at Summerfields, which had 50 boys in a year or 40 odd boys in a year, you were in the C's. So that is my maths. That is 33 boys. So you were above like... Half, you were lower than half.
Well, if you let yourself down now, Jamie, and these fetch letters are part of your charm, but up until third year, which is when I left, you played in teams of seven, actually.
Oh, you did?
You did, it was like seven aside. And then only when it was in your third, you'd go into the Colts, which was 11 aside. And
actually, it was a big deal when you got into the Colts.
And in the Colts, I was on the fringes of Colts A. But I think my home was in the Colts B. Really.
I remember when the Colts were, you saw your third year. It was third year or fourth year Colts?
Third year.
Third year was Colts. And we played in what we had at Summerfields was, and I think I've told you the story before, Francis, but maybe I haven't. We had father and son's cricket match.
Yes.
And the father and son's cricket match was what it sounds like as fathers and sons cricket
well,
match.
I'm sure people can put this together.
Yeah. And we had a dad who came in who was called Mr. Kinsley, who was a very aggressive batsman. And remember, we are how old? We are 10.
Right.
We are 10, whatever. And and Charlie Kinsley, his son, came and bowled one and bowled it, like bounced, and it bounced and it went past him. And we were like, okay, we'll bring the fielders in. So a guy called George Setia was put in at like short, right, like close to him. You know, where they, so it's on drive, and it's like an on drive, whatever you do, an on drive. And Charlie Kinsley came and bowled one and what bounced up and hit his dad's shoulder. From that moment, I saw anger flicker in the dad's eyes. So Charlie Kinsey then got the ball back, ran down the wicket, bowled. His dad ran up the wicket and smashed the ball as hard as he could straight into George Setia's arm and broke his arm.
Uh-huh. That is a good story. It was funny.
Had to be there, I guess.
No, I wasn't there and I've loved it.
But also the funny thing about it is, you know, on these wickets, it's not like a 12-yard wicket what you normally have in professional cricket.
Yeah.
It was like 6 yards. He literally ran to the other end of the thing and tried to smack it for a six against some 10-year-old.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
What I loved about the story was the reintegration of George Sethia, because when Jamie brought him in, I thought this is just to add detail and colour to the story, but he was crucial.
He's so crucial to that moment. I wasn't just setting the scene where the fielders are. He was crucial to that moment.
Wow.
But yeah. I think, do you not think that, so you like Simon Fields, you loved Australia. You then came back and went to Eton College. But why didn't you like Eton? Because more boys, more competition, bigger kind of scenario. What is it? Harder to fit in?
Yeah, well, I just think I was obsessed with having my Australian state football career wasted. livid about that.
It's again, you had it at the beginning of your life, the sliding doors process. You just had it. Sliding doors, if only I could have gone from the seas at England to state Australia.
I felt the same about my surfing career, which was cut short. I'd just done my first competition and then I was...
Well, I thought I'd get to surf.
But I guess I kind of pipped you on the America versus Australia thing. But...
It's good to throw a couple of crumbs your way. I was just starting to get a social life in Australia and meet like girls and stuff, and then you go back to Eton where there's none of that. And again, you're thinking, well, like, yeah, the girls would have been all over some New South Wales star midfielder. They're not interested in me now. Back at Eden, trapped. And I had a little accent. Like, I don't know if you were teased for your American accent.
Yeah,
I got teased for my Australian accent.
But I don't get the way, hang, because I would expect, you know, because normally sort of what happened normally is that, so you, Francis, same, and you, Ivo, is that at school it's very kind of, especially what it was very British, it was very normal. It was, you know, the typical parents sending the typical children to the schools at that time. So it's a very typical life you've led. Mm. It wasn't that exciting. So for someone to come from Australia or someone to come from America, for the other boys, it's actually quite exciting. You have a bit of a story to tell about because that life is, you know, we only saw that on television. You know, you saw Home and Away and Neighbours and things like that. And apart from that, you didn't experience Australians.
I was a character from Neighbours. I had the exoticism of Toadfish Rebecca. So do you know Toadfish or what?
But it would be like exciting for me to meet you guys.
The most exciting thing for people when I arrived was it wasn't that I was from Neighbours, but it was the fact that Australia was 6 months ahead and we all watched Neighbours in the boarding house. So for the first 6 months, I had Neighbours spoilers that I could like lord it over the others with. And that staved off the bullies for a while, but I knew that the clock was ticking on my neighbour's spoilers. As soon as the UK caught up.
You were fucked.
I was in real trouble.
Did you try and guess it?
I think I may have attempted a couple of guesses, but very swiftly.
And you went, oh no, they've got me.
They've clocked on. I don't anymore.
You have the first guess that's wrong, you can pass off as misremembering. And then what happens again, they've worked you out. It's Trump and only card.
Oh my God.
But I don't. It's a lovely thought that I was exotic. I think it's more just you lash out as a teenager against anything that's a bit different. And also, I was a term late, which wasn't ideal. So
That's the worst.
So everyone's bonded.
Yeah, I was also a term late.
Goodness me, it's like staring into the cracked mirror from earlier. Life really is, but just one circle of life.
Life is the circle of life.
Oh my God. But that is the tricky thing, because especially, I think, yeah, if you start all school together where everyone's a bit nervous and everyone's a bit freaking out, and that's for any all of our listeners, right? When you start a new school...
And then some American or Australian.
But it's also, when you're all in the same bucket together, right? It's all in the bucket together, one for all, right? You're all kind of like butting against each other.
Is this just a mixture of all these cliches?
Yeah, but it's true. But then when someone comes in who is new, especially a term later, and also from another country, you become a threat. And I think
I like the threat.
Ivan Krem was a threat. Yeah.
A threat to the bucket. The bucket community has been established now over the course of a long Michaelmas term of bucket-based bonding. And now this tanned Hicks turned up.
He's claiming he's good at football.
Well, that was the thing, actually.
Because your only saving grace was the fact you would have turned up and they thought he might be quite good for the football team. Let's put him in the first, and then realised you were shit.
Well, that was actually what happened to me when I came back. They were like, I was like, oh yeah, I actually played like a bit of county football back in America. And they were like, did you? And then I was like, yeah. And they were like, evidently not. But
Francis, you and this is so...
By road in the end. So
but you, Francis, fine. Also did this another time when we went skiing where... And I know I dumb it up a little bit, but it was so funny where I went to Francis where we went on a ski trip filming up there. And Francis went, I can ski.
No, I never said that. I said I'd skied once.
Okay, well, we went up on this chairlift, and you know when someone...
We went straight to the top of a black run.
Yeah, you know when someone says like, oh, I'm good at sport, and throw them a ball and they can't really catch it, right? You know straight away.
Then it psychs them out.
Yeah, so when Francis went, I can ski, and then when he got to the chairlift to sit on it and he couldn't quite remember how to sit on the chairlift, I literally went, we're fucked.
This is over-egged because I never actually said that I could ski. In fact, I was pleading with the producers to like let me go do a refresher.
Don't even know how to sit.
Also, it was a whiteout at the top of the back run. Yeah. Francis fell over one. He was like, for fuck's sake. He's also wearing like a pink onesie like ski suit. Yeah. And then he did two other turns, fell over and broke his knee.
Was this for Chelsea?
Yeah,
we skied for Chelsea. God. But so obviously you're saying, so you think, do you think you were a little bit of an outsider at school then?
I don't want to over romanticize it because I don't think it was as glamorous as being an outsider. I think you can believe your own hype and go, I don't belong here. But I think I was just trying to push in a little bit. And also, a lot of boys went on from Summerfields to Eton. It was a very successful feeder school.
name some. Walpole.
Well, exactly. All of the Walpoles. A couple of Fabers. I didn't, but so some of them have been my pals at Summerfields.
Yeah.
But as is the way, it's been a few years apart. things have changed, and I found that quite heartbreaking.
This is the same thing.
I'm going to have to make a supercut of all of the same times at Francis. Yeah. Same thing happened to me.
There were a few boys who I'd gone to prep school with, and because it was a Catholic school, and I went to this Catholic prep school, so there were obviously there were a lot of boys that were there. But yeah, like you say, there were a lot of the ground had shifted.
Yes, and when you feel you've been left behind. And I remember it trying to be quite stoic about it and go, well, time's passed. Maybe I didn't email enough while I was in Australia.
I didn't got my pen pal enough in order to
I didn't think I was going to come back. I was too busy larging it on Bondi. But my dad, I remember being very indignant on my behalf. And he kept saying things like, well, you find out who your real friends are. And I was like, yeah. not that many of them actually don't.
But also, do you think this is why, Ivy, that you turned to entertainment? Because it was a way of fitting in, or a way of being
justifying being different,
or being belonging, and or you felt you were part of a something, or what was it?
I think there is probably a link there.
Because you came in and you were like this outsider for a bit, you kind of liked the.
I'm going to really embrace that.
How can I build on this?
How can I distance myself further from the traitors, as my father kept calling them? I think if I'd been more popular, this is such a cliche of comedy, but I have found it to be true largely from talking to people. That thing of, if you're popular at school, you'd be less likely to get into something like comedy because you've already got that sense of accomplishment. You don't have that need to prove yourself. And I didn't have that at school. And so when I went to uni, which is where I started doing stand-up, I thought, like, I've not really enjoyed the last 5 years that much. I want to make a new start and do some new things and try some new things. So that was where it came from.
But it's also interesting, right, is that you... this is what you sort of think. So you're Eton educated. You've gone to Oxford because you're intelligent and things like that, and you've picked that kind of route to go. And I think
they picked him. Maybe.
Oh, they picked you.
They did pick me. I said, terrible interviewer said, "You'll be delighted to hear, Professor Nelson, that I've allowed Oxford to select me."
But the thing is that
I got rejected from Oxford. Fucking
yeah, Francis got drunk and then was told he had to do another interview. And he was like, "Oh, for fuck's sake!"
That's how they get you. That's how they get.
But the interesting thing is that you chose this route. You went to Oxford, those kind of things, and I suppose you had this choice of taking two routes, right? Where what Oxford does for you is it gives you a very good degree. It gives you, if you work hard and things like that, and it gives you a very good kind of start off in life in terms of getting jobs and things like that. That's a kind of big advantage of Oxford, that you're incredibly hireable from businesses and things like that. And you had the choice, I suppose, of doing that or taking the other road, which is much more, I suppose, with much less security and things like that, and going down a road of entertainment where you're actually, you've gone through all this trouble getting this degree and doing this thing and going down that road, but then in fact going against what Oxford kind of supplies for you and is necessarily for. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I do see what you mean. And I think...
I guess if you've got an Oxford degree... It's more secure, right?
Yeah, like but my point is it seems, I suppose...
You can take bigger risks because...
In a way, slightly probably pointless in order to go through that effort, in order to go to that university and get that degree and do those things, unless you saw it as a safety blanket.
Unlike your performing arts degree from Leeds.
Yeah, which was my safety blanket. I was like, I'm going to get this degree.
You wouldn't have got the gig in Made in Chelsea if you hadn't done that.
Can always go back to the performing arts if I need to.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah, completely. I think lots of what you both said is true. I think, like Francis said, it does give you the confidence that you can try something for a few years and still have quite a good, thing on your CV to apply for more conventional paths with. Although I worry that I'm maybe so passing the point of no return now. do they still care about the Oxford degree now?
Yeah, thank God.
29 years old, yeah. I've got to do this now.
I saw, because we get sent like CVs and things like that for my business, Candy Kittens, we get sent things through, and I saw someone's CV today and it said all these different things and all these tributes, and it said like GCSEs and, blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, what the fuck would I put on my CV if I had to do it? I would put my GCSEs down. I got all C's, two B's and a D. I'd say that. A level, I got B, C, D. I went to theatre performance at Leeds. I did Main Chelsea. And I worked at Bar and Burger for a week. That's literally what I would put on my CV.
I'd lead with Byron up front. Yeah. I think that's in the biggest font, I think.
Before we move on, we got to do one thing that we always like to do in the podcast. Francis, you give us a question.
Yes.
Francis asks us a question. We try and answer it, and it's a very lovely little bit of format we like to do in the podcast.
Okay.
So, Francis, please, let's have the question of the week.
What is the gayest animal on the savannah?
On the savannah.
Glad to have narrowed it down to the savannah.
I had to give you a bit of a
yes.
And obviously by savannah we mean South America, the south of America.
What?
Southern America.
I'm afraid not. I'm afraid.
This is savannah. Savannah. Give me another go.
No,
savannah.
In Africa.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's what I meant.
Come on, Jamie. Made in Chelsea went on safari, didn't they? I've literally seen.
What's the gayest animal in Savannah, Georgia?
It won't last long. Okay, what is the gayest animal in Africa?
What do we mean by the gay?
Which is the most gay?
What, happy?
As in, no. Which one has sex with the same sex?
Okay, fine. Ivor, you're the guest. Why don't you have a little guess?
Nice, sort of polite, but also quite high pressure.
Are you talking about the animal? No, what's nice and polite, yes. but also handles pressure well?
Those are what you need on the savannah. Politeness, ability to deal with high pressure situations, and of course, a week working at Byron Burger. I just don't know. So I've got no idea. I'm just going to say an impala.
An impala?
Yes.
All right.
I could quite like, okay, I am going to go for... I'm going to go for a hippo.
You think the hippos are the gayest?
I think hippo, yeah. Francis?
So you think the impala is gayer than the hippo, and you think the hippo is gayer than
the
impala?
Yeah, I think so.
I have no knowledge or interest, but that's the first animal that came to my mind.
All right.
Well, listen, hey Francis, you can tell us in part two. But Ivo, we're gonna have a little break there. But come back in part two. Well, you're not going anywhere. We've locked the doors, so we'll see you in part two.
We've run over, so you don't get a break.
Yeah, so we're just gonna go straight into it. Hey team, we'll see you in part two. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.